to Mark chapter number 3. We want to read a few scriptures here, and then we're going to turn over to Matthew and read in Matthew. And my goal this morning is for somebody to get help, and for somebody to come away encouraged, for somebody to come away that has received what they need in their heart and their soul. And I love to preach to the lost, but I'm not going to preach to the lost this morning unless the Lord begins to direct me differently. And if he does that, that'll be fine. And I don't know how long I've got, but I'm not a long-winded preacher anyway, so I'm sure there'll be plenty of time. Mark chapter number 3, picking up in verse 1. The Bible said, "And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, Stand forth." Let's go down to verse 5. "And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other." That's a wonderful miracle, isn't it, church? That's a wonderful miracle that a person that was not whole is made whole. That is a wonderful miracle of God. If you will, turn over to Matthew chapter number 19. Matthew chapter number 19. We're going to pick up in verses 16 through 22, and then I'm going to read one more verse. In 16, the Bible says, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet?" I want you to notice verse 20. He said, "What lack I yet?" He knew there was a problem. He knew there was something wrong. And he went ahead and he asked the Lord, he said, "What lack I yet?" And Jesus said unto him, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." Verse 22, sad to me. "But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." Verse 26, the Bible says, the words of Christ, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Thank the Lord. I appreciate the Lord. If you will, stretch forth your hand one more time this morning. Ask the Lord to anoint us. Thank you, Jesus. Back at youth camp, the Lord began to deal with my heart on this message. I preached from these scriptures several times over the past 2 years, and as I preach, you'll understand why. And if you will, brothers that are preaching this morning, I meant to mention this before I got started, but our church is cooking, so when I'm through preaching shortly after that, I'm going to go help my church, for I feel the obligation and the need to help my people. So I will be going out there, not to be disrespectful to you preachers, but I am a pastor, and I do like to help my people. But we read in the book of Mark here about a man with a withered hand. And probably 3, 4, 5 years ago, I preached a message on this. I really received a lot from the Lord on the withered hand, and I thought a lot about how church people will come to church many times, and we may not realize that they are in the condition that they are because they hide the condition that they have. I have a picture of a man here with a withered hand that most likely, as he went through life, he hid his, as we look at it, his problem, he hid it from the many people that he was around, no doubt. A lot of times when people have a physical handicap, they try to hide that physical handicap from the people that they are around. And we find that whenever we come to the house of God, a lot of times that we will have a spiritual handicap that will keep us from really getting into a service and receiving what we need from God. A lot of times that'll happen to us, and you know, there's nothing wrong when we do have a problem, problem is when we fail to do something about the problem. When we get to the place in our experience that we say, well, we don't need to go forward. We don't need to try to get any closer to God because it's going to be embarrassing to us. That's when we begin to have a problem. Hallelujah. One preacher told me one time, he said, if you can preach about your own experience, it'll be a whole lot better for you and your ministry. And so I'm going to preach about my experience this morning. I want to help somebody in this service today. And I hope that you can gain from my experience and be able to move forward with God, that you'd be able to have an experience with God that would help you not just today in this service, not just the rest of the weekend camp meeting, but when you get back home and you begin to face your trials and your problems again, I'd like for the Lord to just carry you away and give you everything that you need. Hallelujah. About a year and a half ago, I had an accident about a year and a half ago, and my church has heard it, and I preached it at several different places, but this finger right here, I cut it off. And Brother Bill, when that happened, I was very conscientious of it. And Brother Neil, I teach it every day to be safe. I teach it in shop class every day. And Brother Tommy, I just made a mistake of what I told my kids not to do. And I cut that finger off. It was a blessing that I didn't lose my whole hand. But after that happened, I began to put up a shield around me. And you know, a lot of times we will hide our problems with humor. We'll hide our problems with humor. So what I would do is I'd joke about it and let people realize, Brother Daniel, that it wasn't as bad as it really looked. I thank the Lord it wasn't the middle finger, because when you grab a microphone and that finger sticking out, it would look real bad. I was withered. I was handicapped. For about a year, I went through surgery 2 weeks after my accident. They put it back together and it wouldn't move. It became the joke at school, that finger would stick out just like that. When I closed my fist up, that became the general thing. My students would walk in, and that's what they do to me. And it was a joke. Brother Neil, it was a joke. Yeah. We had a lot of fun. When I got it fixed, they said, Mr. Colbert, we can't joke no more. I said, well, if you want to, you can, but I'm well now. But you know, I got to looking at it. I went to a doctor in Macon, finally went to a specialist up there, and he told me, he said, I can help you. He said, but you are going to have to go through surgery. I'd done been through surgery, Brother Don, and I didn't want to go through it again. I didn't want to go through it again. I thank the Lord for our doctors, but I just did not want to go through it again. And I would go and preach church just to let you know how bad it was. A lot of people didn't realize it. My home folks realized it, and I'm sure that a lot of people knew it. But when I would grab my Bible, I would always use my left hand, and I can make that finger stay under just like that. I was withered, brothers. I was in a condition to where I could not show my hand because it was embarrassing to me. It was embarrassing more from the fact than just I was hurt and I was lame. But the other reason was is I taught being safe, and it was embarrassing that I made a mistake after I teach it day in and day out. But you know, that's the way Christians are. We sometimes make a mistake. We sometimes slip up, and we will make a mistake that will cause a problem that we will become so embarrassed about that we will not be able to hold our head up. And instead of going to where the true help is, we would rather hide it. We'd rather keep it from everybody. And we'd rather take and say, well, if I can just hide it when I go to church, nobody will ever know what is going on. But the problem is you're still withered in your spirit, and God is not able to do everything that he needs to do for you, because you have set up a boundary around you, and you said, I'm not going to let the people know what I need. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just bear with me a little while. Hallelujah. Just bear with me. I began to look, and I preached several times before I ever went to have surgery. And 1 year and one day after my accident happened, I was on the way to church one night. And on the way to church, I got to praying, and I got to remembering that trip from my house to Lakeland where the hospital was. And my sister-in-law's here today. She'll remember it. And I did everything I knew to do when it happened, and she took me to the emergency room. My children and wife were at home. And I got up there, and on the way to church that night, I began to have flashbacks, brothers and sisters. I began to remember everything that happened. I remembered not the pain I was in when it happened, but I remembered the pain the next morning when I woke up. I began to just remember so vividly. I remembered everything that happened, and the Lord told me. He spoke to me not in an audible voice, but He spoke to my heart, and He said, "This is the reason that I have allowed you to go through this, so you can preach to my people and you can help them to get out of a withered experience." I want you to know, church, if it wasn't on my heart to preach this, I wouldn't do it because it embarrassed me for so long. But you know what? I began to listen to the Lord, and I began to think about going through surgery again. I thought, Lord, you know, if I go through surgery, it's going to be painful. Brother Ryan, it's going to be tough to go through again. I'd done been through my own therapy. I'd already been through all of these things. And I thought, Lord, I really don't want to go through surgery. I told my wife at one point, I said, baby, I'm just going to live with it. I'm not going to go. But one day I came to the realization. I said, you know what? Sometimes the pain will be worth it to be whole again. And I thought, Lord, I'm going to go do it. Brother Donnell, I went up there. I went into surgery that day. I don't remember exactly what day it was, but I woke up the next morning when the nerve block had wore off. I could not move that finger a bit, but about 4 o'clock the next morning, I did like that right there. Hadn't been to any therapy, hadn't went anywhere else, and the pain was worth it, church. It was worth it. For about 2 weeks, I went to therapy, and I pushed myself. I began to look at what the Lord done for me. You know, sometimes we get in a situation, whether it's our fault, because of something we did, or because of something that happened somewhere else, but you know what? Sometimes it's going to be painful for us to get back to where we need to be with God. Sometimes it's going to be tough on us to get right back where we need to be with God. And we've got to put forth that effort. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I read the scriptures there in Matthew chapter number 19. And we find in this scripture where the rich young ruler comes to the Lord and he talks to him about inheriting eternal life. Yes, sir. He kept all of the things that dealt with man versus man. Yes, sir. He kept those. Yeah, he did. That was who he was with on a daily basis. He kept those. Yeah. But you know what? He comes down and the Bible says here that the young man saith unto him, "All these things have I kept from my youth up. Yeah. What lack I yet?" You know, most of the time when we're in the house of God and the preacher preaches, we'll say, "Well, you know, I know this, I've done this." But yet we will listen to preacher after preacher. We'll listen to evangelist after evangelist. We'll listen to pastor after pastor. And they'll tell us what we need to get fixed with God. And you know what? We'll still walk out the door after they've told us what lack I yet. There was everybody in this house probably at one time has looked at this rich young ruler and pointed their finger at him and said, you know what, he just wasn't willing to make the price or pay the price to get it fixed. But I began to see a picture of the modern day church, and I thought, how many times have we looked in the mirror and God has spoke to our heart about one thing, and we weren't willing to get that one thing fixed with God. We weren't willing to take care of that one situation. We wasn't willing to go through that one problem just to get it fixed with God. But I'd like to tell you that from my experience, it is worth it. It is worth it to go from a withered state to a state where your spirit is no longer withered, but in the power of God. Hallelujah. There's too many times that we come in the house of God and we decide, I'm not going to get in, because I'm just not going to do it. I hope you're following me. I hope you're following me. My mind goes back to, well, I don't know what year it was, but we was back at Trinity Church. And I don't know if Brother Joey in here this morning. Okay, Brother Joey's not in here this morning. But we were having revival at Trinity. And I was sitting up in this area, Brother Ross, And I kind of had my arms folded, and the Lord was moving. And in that specific service, I was just having a pity party. How many of you ever done that? Boy, there wasn't many hands went up, was there? I don't reckon anybody has a pity party. I had a pity party, Brother Denville. I wasn't feeling the power of God moving. I wasn't excited about being at church. I don't really know what was wrong with me. I reckon I just being feeling sorry for myself, Brother Don. That's just the way it was. I reckon we all get there sometimes. But I was young. I was a young Christian at that time. And I was sitting there, and Brother Joy come up to me, and he said, Brother, he said, either you can sit there and feel sorry for yourself, or you can get out there where everybody's worshiping God, and you can begin to feel better. I sat there a little bit, Brother Daniel. I thought about that a minute. I said, he's right, ain't he? I got up from where I was and went out in the service and got where the power of God was moving, and the Lord began to bless me. And you know what? Instead of being withered when I walked out that night, I walked out whole in my spirit, because I was willing to swallow my pride. I was willing to swallow everything that was holding me back. I'd like to tell you today that if you've got a withered spirit this morning, I believe the power of God is real enough that He'll come by this morning and He'll help you to get over your withered condition. But Brother Ben, you do not understand my situation. Well, you don't understand mine. Whew. You didn't understand mine. Now you see why I said I'm glad it wasn't a middle finger. That was as far as I could go, Brother Neil. That was as far as I could go. And I was very caught. There was sometimes when I'd preach, I grabbed a microphone before I realized it. And that's what was going on. And I'd automatically take my hand up, and I'd swap over and pull my hand right back down. I wonder how many times in camp meeting, in your home church, that you got into the house of God and the Lord began to move for you. And then you begin to pull up that one thing that was a problem, and it began to deal with your heart, and you just did the same thing this old boy did. You just said, I'm going to cover it right back up and hide it again. You know what? God don't like to hide it. He wants to deliver you from it. He don't want to keep you hiding it from people. He don't want you to hide it from Him. He wants you to give it to Him and let Him have complete control in your life. But it's easy. It's easy. It's easy to take and cover those problems up. It's easy. You know what? We can come to the house of God. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord I was nervous. I ain't nervous no more. But I've looked at it a lot of times, Brother Neil. And every time, y'all might not realize, some of you probably do, Brother Ed Arnold, he knows he's had some problems with his hands. But every time I grab my steering wheel, now guess what? When I grab a hold to it tight like that, there's a pain that shoots through that finger to remind me. And you know what? It keeps me humble before God. I'm not telling you that you're going to have pain after you get through. That's not what I'm saying. But it reminds me constantly of the mistake that I made and the problem that I had. And you know, there's many people in our churches that probably possibly sitting right under the sound of our voice this morning. There's probably some in the service last night and some in other services that sat in the back of the church and said, I'm not going to step out for God because it's going to be painful for me. It's going to be something that's going to be a problem for me. But you know what? Sometimes going through the pain is worth it. Sometimes going through the pain, it makes us a better person, and it takes us from a withered condition to a condition where we can flourish with God and the Lord can bless us. You know, I can understand this morning. I look at these scriptures here, and I read the scriptures about the rich young ruler. And there's many times I've preached on him, and I preached about the attitude that he had. He had a love in his heart for things of this world. You know, that's the big problem that we have. People can't get the love of this world out of their heart. They can't get the love of the world out of their heart. And when the Bible said in verse 22, "But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." You know, there's even a time whenever the Lord deals with us about things that we have in our lives. Things that he deals with. You know, I'm reminded of things that we could have a lot of money in. The Lord may tell us, you know, you need to give that up. It's painful to give up a lot of money you've invested, Brother Neil. It's painful. It's painful. But you know what? Whenever we get to the place that we're willing to go all the way with God, it'll make a difference. You know, a lot of times we'll look and we'll say, well, I prayed for a year, a little over a year. About a year and a half ago is when I actually, or 6-7 months ago is when I had my last surgery. And I prayed, Lord, I was praying the Lord would heal me. I was praying, I preached one day, I said, Lord, it'd be wonderful if I was sitting down at a table with my FFA students at an event. We were praying and the Lord just healed me. It'd been wonderful. I'd have loved it, Brother Don. It'd have been a testimony to me that would have just carried me out of this world. But that wasn't the way God chose it. But when I come back from that place, I told my wife, I said, it was worth going through it one more time to be able to use my hand again. I use my hands every day in work, and I'd like to tell you with men, this is impossible spiritually, but the Bible said that God said, but with God all things are possible. I want you to know, you don't have to put a limit on God this morning. You don't have to put a limit on God and say God can't handle my problem. I remember a message I heard from Brother Don Tabor years ago at youth camp. I remember the message he preached, and I remember one thing he said in that message. He said, there's an answer for every problem in this holy book of God if we'll just grab a hold to it and use it. And I'm afraid this morning, I'd like to push you on over the top, but if Brother Ralph and these other preachers do it, that'll be fine with me. But there's one thing I want you to know. If you stay in this service, if you stay in this camp meeting, and you ignore what the Lord has spoken to your heart about having a withered spirit, it's not going to be me that's going to be responsible for you going away with no help. It's not going to be these brothers going away responsible for you not receiving help, because the Lord has showed us this morning exactly where we are spiritually. And church, sometimes we'll take and we'll hide it long and long and long, and we'll just keep going on. I don't want you to go to the place where you're so hard from the Word of God, your heart's so hard that you cannot receive it from the Lord. But while the Lord is still tenderly speaking to your heart, it would be wonderful if you'd say, you know, Lord, that's exactly where I am. Lord, that's exactly what I'm going through. And what I'd like to do is get it fixed with you. I want you to know there's enough power in heaven to help you with any spiritual battle you have. There's enough power in heaven to help you with any problem you've got. But you've got to be willing to step out of your place of comfort and say, my Lord and my God, I'm going to step out and get what I need. It doesn't matter what they say. It doesn't matter what it looks like. I'm going to get my help. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. The next time you come into service, my prayer is, if you don't remember anything from this little old preacher, I hope you'll remember that hand right there holding that microphone. I couldn't do that for this morning. I had to practice to do it. But you know what? I don't have to grab a microphone like that anymore, because God has made a difference. Whew. My God has made a difference. Hallelujah. Not only did he make a difference in me physically, Hallelujah. I'm going to brag just a little bit right here. He blessed me spiritually about a year or two ago. I baptized my son. We baptized him. He got saved at school. He prayed through and got saved. And he come home and he said, "I've been saved. I want to be baptized." And about a week ago Sunday, my daughter came to me with tears in her eyes. And she said, "Daddy, if you will, let us pray. I want to pray." We prayed and she prayed and got saved and we baptized her. And you know what? Right before that, the Lord dealt with me on something. And he said, "If you'll do this, I'll bless you." And Brother Don, I did it. And you know what? The Lord come by and he moved in my family and he saved my daughter and my family saved. I'd like to see some of your family saved. I'd like to see some of your family doing right. I'd like to see some of you spiritually get out of that withered condition and grab a hold of the power of God. A withered spirit will do you more harm than it will good. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to close here in just a little bit. I told you I'm not long-winded. But whenever I got through, it was the next week. I had to stay out of work for a week. Took pain medication for 3 days until it went to messing with my mind, and I said, "I'll just suffer through it." So I suffered through it. And if you're hooked on pain medication, the Lord can deliver you from that too. Yes, amen. Yes, woo. Hallelujah. It ain't just regular drugs people are hooked on. It's pain medication. Hallelujah. But I went back to work the next Monday. Had a big old splint on my arm. Everything looked funny. And you know what? The first thing I did, Brother Daniel. I'm not picking at Brother Daniel, but the same saw that he cut himself on was the same one I cut myself on. So we got something. He said, "I can keep it, so I reckon me and Gene will keep it." All the guards are back on it now, I can tell you that. Hey, ain't no guards missing on it. But a week after that, you know what this old boy did? I did something that most people won't do. I went back to the shop that I teach in. I turned that big old table saw on that I worked with, Brother Neil, and I grabbed a piece of plywood, and I pushed it through. Was I scared, Brother Don? I was scared to death. I was worried to death. But you know what? When I got through, I wasn't worried about the sound of that table saw. I wasn't worried about the sound of that motor coming on. I wasn't worried about the sound of the preacher man. I wasn't worried about the songs that was being sung. I said, "You know what? I have worked through this problem, and I'm going to go a little bit farther." And I said, "I'm going to go all the way to get myself back where I can. In God, do I have scars? Yes. But was it worth it? Yes, it was worth it, because I'm not withered anymore." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What about you this morning? What about you? Have you been withered? Spiritually, have you been withered? Brother Ben, you're beating on us hard this morning. No, I'm just worried about your spiritual condition. Your spiritual condition is the most important thing to you. It's the most important thing to me, is your spiritual condition. What about yours? What about yours? Hallelujah. Well, Brother Ben, I can take it. I can laugh about it. You know what? It don't take long for the laughing to get old.
That's right.
It did with me. It did with me. And that was what made my decision to go on back and get it fixed. Yeah, I could have been the laugh of everybody, Sister Kim. I could have continued making my little old sign with my students. But you know what? I don't have to do it no more. And spiritually speaking, there's some of us, some of you, that have come in here and you're looking for God to help you. You've come to this camp meeting looking for a move of God. You've come to this camp meeting saying, "I want God to help me. I want God to move for me." And as I'm closing with this right here this morning, there's one thing that you're going to have to do to receive help. When the Lord begins to prick your heart, you're not going to be able to take and say, "Well, I'm going to go away sorrowful." You're going to have to step up and say, "You know what? He's talking about me. I've got right on the heart. He's talking about my heart. He's talking about my condition." You can't blame anybody anybody sitting beside you. You can't blame anybody sitting behind you or in front of you. It's going to be your personal experience with God. I want you to know whenever God healed that man with a withered hand, there was a testimony that went out because they saw a man that went from a withered condition to a whole condition. And when he went to that way and he got to that piece of place in his life, I want you to know that he was blessed and he had a testimony about the miracle working power of God. And as I close this morning, however Brother Neil wants to handle this will be fine with me. But I want you to know before I leave, you'll have to make the first step if you want to get help. Hallelujah. I told you I was fixing to close, but I got to say something else. Brother Neil, bear with me just a minute. I try not to make a habit of saying that. But you know what? There was something that happened to me years ago, and I'm not going to knock on any religion, but I went to a place where they worshiped Mary instead of Jesus. I was at a funeral home in a visitation. And when I got through with that visitation, I began to see some things there. And I want to tell somebody this morning, I don't know why the Lord laid this on my heart right here as I'm getting ready to close. But when I went to go to the doctor in January, or in December to go have my surgery, when I went to the doctor on that Wednesday morning, I believe it was, I went to the doctor Wednesday or Thursday. I went up there. You know, I didn't ask for the doctor's mother to come in and do the surgery on me. Y'all bear with me just a minute. I'm trying to close. I didn't call the doctor's mother to come do surgery on me. There's too many people trying to go to Mary instead of coming to Jesus. You know, when 9/11 happened, everybody said the world needs to turn to God. You know, it's not just God that they need to turn to. I never heard anybody in our government say, let's turn to Jesus Christ, who is the salvation of our soul. I want you to know this morning that Jesus Christ will do more for you than anybody else in this world. He'll do more for you. He'll clean your soul up. He'll save you. The Bible says in the Word of God, it says that there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. And a withered spirit is one that is lost and undone in sin. A withered spirit is one that is walking in darkness. But this morning the Lord would even like to tell a lost person that you don't have to be withered any longer. If you'll come to Jesus Christ at the cross of Calvary, I want you to know you can be saved this morning. You can be saved this morning. Don't continue in the condition you're in. Don't continue. Why don't you make a step towards God? Make a step toward Jesus. Praise the Lord.
You're not here by accident.